Do you know what I love? You know, it wasn't too many generations ago that saying God was good was a taboo among the church. And there were leaders who said, today is your day. God is a good God. And I'm thankful they were called heretics, but I'm thankful they stood on God's word and conviction. Because we're able to stand before you today and say, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And we get no backlash because somebody paved the way. And so, Pastor, I honor you for paving the way. No small thing. And I know there, I'm sure there are people who know some of the things you went through, but I guarantee you there is a lot no one knows you ever faced. No one knows you ever went through. And I thank you. I thank you for what you have done. Hallelujah. The good news, Pastor, is your days of sowing seed are not over. They're only going to increase as time comes. So I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for everybody who is here, everybody who feels a part of the church, every team and department. I'm going very long here, and I'm going to just wrap this up from Miss Judy and Kurt, who traveled all the way from Florida to be a praise and worship leader. My area, thank you so much. Miss Missy, who has been so faithful to do the work of God that's called on her heart. Because we would not be where we are today without people paving the way and sowing the seed and making God's word come to pass. Because a lot of people would say, well, God's word, there are some things that's going to come to pass whether we get involved or not. But there are some things that are seeds that must be sown, watched over, watered, and kept. That if we're going to have it manifest in our lives. Because all the promises are in Him and in Him. Amen. All right, that was all free. I haven't even started yet. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're going to get started in God's Word this morning. If you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 28, I'm starting a series that we're going to call Worship, Love Expressed. Ooh, I like this crowd. And so I just want you to know something. Worship is love expressed. If you're going, and you know, people will use the term. Now, I want to tell you very quickly, there is no worship that takes the place of worshiping God. But, you know, we hear the word, what are you worshiping? There are people who have worshiped false idols. There are people who have worshiped false gods. There are people who have worshiped their job, their family. There's people who have worshiped wrong things. But to worship, you have to show. Worship is an act or an expression that comes from the heart. Because those who worship must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. And so we worship out of our spirit. We worship in truth. But there is an action. Now, I want to be very clearly, you saw a lot of people acting this morning. And, you know, I grew up, I'll give you a little bit about myself. I grew up in the backwoods of Florida in the panhandle. People hear that and they're like, I didn't know Florida had an accent. I mean, like anywhere in the panhandle, you're an hour and a half at the very most from Georgia or Alabama. We still have a thick accent. And the closest Walmart was an hour and a half away, unless you drove with my mother. Then it was much closer. And so, yep, my mother's here this morning, and who I am well pleased. I love her very much. And so, my mom throws me off all the time. One time I was preaching when I was in traveling ministry. I was preaching. She had to drive me because I was too young to have a driver license. And I was preaching at Assembly of God Church, and I mean, I was on it. I mean, I would, you know, when you're, y'all, I realize a lot of people were raised in Wisconsin and may not understand the term hoopy. But that's pretty much when you get going, Jesus, Jesus, you know, it's Lord. You know, so I was going, I was doing really well. And my mama stood up with her handkerchief waving. And she said, "Preach it, baby, preach it." And I'm going to tell you, the anointing dried up right then and there. I lost my spot. I didn't know what I was saying. All I know is I'm like 15 and my mother just shouted baby from the front row. It is. I was so embarrassed, but I was able to salvage the rest of the message. But this morning, you know, I come from a very small town. My backyard was the Gulf of Mexico, which I was very blessed. Didn't know it at the time. But once I moved out, I was very blessed to be raised and to live in that area. I'm so thankful for my background. I was raised in a very Pentecostal church, not the denomination, charismatic, Pentecostal charismatic, operating in the gifts, operating in the Spirit of God. And so I was used to church, you know, with a hop, with a bounce. Love was an expression, or worship was an expression of love. Now, I just want to say this. Your praise does not have to look like mine. Because my praise, we used to call it getting ugly for Jesus. Women, yeah, I'm so thankful that they have that waterproof mascara now so that it just doesn't run down your face. And can I tell you, thankfully, we are out of that old teaching and religion, because older generation would look and say, "That makeup, my God, is a sin. Because if God wanted it on your face, he wouldn't wash it off." I grew up in a church that would say things like that. Thankfully, we've moved beyond that point. Because let me just tell you, makeup does a world of good. It does. It looks good. And I love that y'all change that stuff up. It's really nice. But not only is that, I remember they would say that earrings were of the devil as well, because they were hoops that the devil would put his feet in for stirrups and ride your brain. Now, that's just ignorance gone to seed. But basically, what I want you to know is that your praise may look different than my praise. Your expression of love may look different than my expression of love. Now, Jessie, my lovely wife, expression of love is much different than my expression of love. And she will testify to that. I told her sometimes there was a just something on the internet. Woo, thank you, Jesus. There's something on the internet where this giraffe was running after an ostrich. And the feathers were out and they were running. And I said, "Jessie, this is me and you. I'm running after you saying, 'Let me love you.' And you're running away saying, 'No, leave me alone.'" Our expression of love is different. And so some of you may express worship in a different way, but that does not mean that other people are not worshiping. I grew up, like I told you, I came from a very charismatic background, but my grandparents on my father's side were Baptists, and I would go and visit them, and I'm going to tell you, I remember one service, and if you grow up charismatic and then you go Baptist, you're very bored the whole service. But I just remember in worship, I remember my grandma sitting beside her, and she just raised her hand, and a tear came out of one eye, and she wiped it away. And then at the end, she looked at me and said, "My Lord, didn't we have church?" And I thought, "Are you kidding me? Nobody broke anything. Nobody fell. Nobody did anything. What do you mean?" But so, you know, when you grow up, you realize that God moves in different ways and moves on your heart in different ways. But worship is an expression. And it is an expression of love. And those who love God will love him in spirit and in truth. Have you found Genesis chapter 28? We're going to start reading in verse 10 this morning. "And Jacob went out of Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows." You know, that's a terrible, terrible pillow. If you think yours is bad, could you imagine laying it on a stone? Okay. "Pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land where thou liest to thee, I will give it. and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee thy seed shall be, all the families of the earth be blessed. And again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Can I tell you something? I'm not done reading the scripture. We're going to keep going. But God is not done. Amen. What he has spoken to your heart, he is still going to accomplish. I've had people tell me God has spoke to me, but yet it has not come to pass. My statement to them is, it's not over yet. It's not done. God may have given you a word a long time ago, but God is still moving and watching over his word to perform what he said he would do. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh my goodness. Verse 16. And Jacob awoken out of the sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And then if I was writing the Bible, I would have put in there, and God responded, I am here, but my name is not Surely. Okay. It's a terrible joke, but I had to put it in there. Just couldn't help myself. Pastors have an anointing for cheesy jokes. I don't know why. I said when I was a kid that I would never do it. I remember growing up saying, I will never say these cheesy jokes. And what do? I say them. All right. Where did we stop off at? Verse 16, right? 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stones that he put, for his pillows, and set it up as for a pillar, and poured oil for you that are up here. Oil instead of oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. Or we say Bethel, but in the Hebrew it is Beth, or Bethel. Now this is a beautiful, because the word Bath or Beth is the word house, and then we have the word El, where we have the word Elohim, where we hear in the beginning God, Elohim. This is where we get the word house of God. Beth, house, God, El. So we have the house of God. And I just love that he came to a place where he said, God is here and I knew it not. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I will go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment, clothes to put on, basically, so that I will come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee, or give the tenth unto thee. I'm a pastor. I have to sneak tithe into every message. Just kidding. Wow. First of all, we see him doing something. Now, get this. We only have a record of his grandfather doing it. But I guarantee you that this was done long before, all the way back to the garden and Adam and Eve. This tithe was something that was done for a long time. Now, Abraham, we have a priest coming before Abraham after he won a great battle and said, now, it is for you to give God a tenth, because he's the one who showed you need to get in on this. And people will say tithing is under the law, but tithing was here before the law ever showed up. Let me say that again. Tithing was here before the law ever showed up. Oh, I feel like I could preach this morning. All right. Now, what I want to point out here, one of the points is Jacob was at the house of God, or Bethel. So what I want to figure out is, what made that place the house of God? What made that location the house of God? What makes us the temple of God, or the house of God? What makes this church the house of God? Have you ever thought about that? How about this? Let's look at this. Have you ever been a part of a church where they said, "Whoo, we had church this morning"? Well, what makes us having church this morning? I believe we've already had church this morning. Church ain't over yet, so don't leave. But what makes church church? What? Because church is the house of God. So what makes us the church? What makes this body the church? What makes this location the church? So this morning we're going to talk about the church. What is the church? Number one, are you ready? I'm going to give you 3 points. I ain't going to give you a poem, but 3 points. Number one, the church is a connection. The church is where we connect with God. And if you don't connect with God when you come to church, if you're just here to hear good music and good preaching, well, let's be honest, great preaching, yes. You'll get used to my sense of humor. I crack myself up all the time. I always say you should probably be the funniest person you know, and I am. Jessie's a close number two. She's a close number two. She will claim that she's the funniest of us, but that is wrong. But it is a place not just to hear great music, not just to hear great teaching, not just to be entertained, but a place where we come to connect with the God who created heaven and earth. If we have not connected with God, we have not had church. Now the beauty is you can have church at home. You can have church in the car. You can have church in your workplace. You can have church in an airplane. I will tell you about having church in an airplane. I'm just going to give you just a head. I love to praise the Lord. Now, I try not to look ridiculous in public. All right? Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't care, and that's fine, and I appreciate that. But I think, you know, we should be, we're already peculiar people. We ain't got to be, you know, just absolutely weird, too. But I remember I was on a plane and I just began to praise God. We were going to a meeting. And I just was thanking the Lord. Thank you, Father. And I felt the Holy Spirit fall. And I'm like, ooh, I need to praise God. I need to raise my hands. I need to speak out loud. Where can I do this? The bathroom. The bathroom's in the back. And, you know, those places are tiny. They are so tiny. But I thought, you know what, prayer closet. I'll go to my prayer closet on the plane. Which, thankfully, smelled all right. You know, that could have been dangerous. You don't know. And so I got in my prayer closet and I began to praise the Lord. And like I told you, it's an expression. It's an expression of your love. I'm an emotional person. Now, thankfully, I'm not led by my emotions. Hello? Woo! Every emotional person needs to learn that. They have to learn that or you will go to jail very early. You will have a prison ministry and not by choice. Because it will get you in traffic. It will get you all the time. Oh, Lord, help us. So we can't be led by our emotions, but you can. Emotions are a great thing. Emotions are not a bad word. Emotions are a good thing. But we have to be in control of our emotions. And so I get to the back of the plane. I get into the restroom, and I begin to praise the Lord. And sometimes I have this little, we'll just call it swagger. That's probably not the right word. Nobody would probably look at it and call it that. But I begin to move, and I begin to praise the Lord, and I'm praying, and I'm thanking the Lord for everything He's doing in my life. I'm thanking Him for everything that's going on. I'm thanking Him for the meetings that are coming up, and that people are going to be saved. They're going to be snatched out of the gates of hell, taken out of the darkness, and placed into the light. I thank you, Lord, that these meetings that are taking place will change people forever. They will never be the same in Jesus' name. Now, the problem was, as I'm moving like that, that door was very close. And I did not realize that I was hitting that door on a regular basis. And that latch is not very strong, and the bottom of the door is not connected, and so the door wasn't coming out every time by a little bit, and it was making a popping noise. And as I went back to my seat, the person I was flying with said, and I noticed when I walked out, everybody looked at me, and I just thought, well, this is strange. Why is everybody staring at me? And so as I get to my seat, the person I'm flying with says, what were you doing? They're like, what do you mean? I said, I was praising the Lord. They said, you were causing all kinds of racket.
That door kept him bang, 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 bang. And the hinges were just barely holding the lock, and the door was coming open a little bit. So I try not to do that in public. I try to find a prayer, a spot that people won't judge me or think, what in the world is this weirdo doing? But, you know, you can connect with God anywhere. But can I tell you this? You need to forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. There is a power when we come together. Yes, have your quiet time at home. Yes, experience church at the house. Yes, when a praise song comes on in the car. Praise the Lord. Connect with God. But forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. I can have church all by myself at home. That is true. You can connect with God. But if that is your church, you are wrong. Because God says, forsake not. There is a power that comes together when we connect in church. I'm not saying it's got to be a large church like us. I'm just saying you got to get in your place. There is an anointing when you step into your church where God has called you. Because you have a supply that the church needs. You have an anointing that God needs to use in the local church. It's all about the body of Christ operating as one. Oh, I think of this. What is that? Those transformers? Well, that meets the eye. Okay. And so, you know, they all transform and they can connect together. And they fight together. That's the body of Christ. We all of a sudden have a, whatever. And I'm like, transformers! I'm not going to do it. Then we all connect in the same purpose and move forward. That's what we must do. Church is about connecting. Verse 16, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and he knew it not. When we come to church, we're trying to create an atmosphere where everyone can become aware of the presence of God. It's not about show. These lights are amazing. I love lights. I love projection. And was not the praise and worship amazing this morning? I felt like the bursting of 1,000 suns on the inside of me. If I wasn't saved, you know what I would do? Get saved. That's the only life to live. Full of victory. But man, we were having church this morning. We were connecting with God this morning. And we were not here just to be exhibiting. Yeah. Now, you may be entertained. You know, you go to exhibits. You get to exhibit some things. You get to see things on the wall or artwork that says, do not touch. That was so hard for me as a child. Do not touch. Please, just let me one. I know none of you are that way. But we're not about exhibiting a move of God. Yeah. We're about experiencing a move of God. And so we don't want to just sit back and let other people, you know, just receive from God. Because let me tell you something. If you're not going to receive from God, I will ask the Lord to give me what he was going to give you doing this. I mean, like, God, I will take what you have for me, and I'll take what anyone else doesn't want to take. Bless me, oh Lord. When I was younger, I didn't know how to put it in words. I'm not the great oracle that I am today. But I just remember, I didn't know how to tell God. And thankfully, God knows your heart. But I just remember praying. I'm like, God, I don't know how to tell you this. I don't know how to say this. But I just want more of you than anybody's ever had. I want more of you than I've ever seen anyone experience. And God, if that means, because I saw, you know, in the Old Testament, thankfully, you know, we learn, we grow up. But, you know, people in the Old Testament died when they touched the presence of God. And I'm like, God, if that's what it is, I'll die. I will die in your presence. That's fine with me. Just give me so much that I can't even handle it. I'm like, I want more than I've ever seen anyone have. So God, give me that presence. What I was crying out with, Lord, I want to connect with you. Like Moses, I want to see you. And so thankfully that we are in the New Testament, the blood has been spilled, that God doesn't have to show us his back parts, that he can turn around and say, here is my glory. So this is a place that we come to connect with God. Point number two, if you're taking notes, and I believe you should. Because if you don't take notes, if you're like me, now maybe you're one of those people who can remember everything, but I walk out and I'm like, what in the world just happened? I have to take notes. If it wasn't for my calendar, I would not know what's going on. But once you connect with God, there needs to be a conversation. You know, I'm so thankful. A minister once told me, he said, Pastor, when you are in the presence of the Lord, when praise and worship and you just feel the tangible, yes, God is on the inside of you, but God also falls down on you. Have you ever had bacon pancakes with pecans in them? We will build an altar right here before the Lord. I feel the anointing. It's wonderful to have that bacon thrown on top of your pancakes. And it's wonderful for that pecans to be on top of the pancakes. But it takes it to a whole new level when it's inside it too. And so what I want you to understand is God is on the inside of you, but He can fall on you at the same time. You can feel the presence. Wherever you go, God is with you. Wherever you go, God is with you. But you can get into a place where God will fall on you. The spirit, the word anointing means heavy, smeared on, pressing down. And so we get in the presence of God and the anointing falls. The heaviness comes upon us. And so we need to have a conversation with the Lord. And the pastor told me, he says, when you come into the presence of God, when praise and worship is so great, when you feel, when you connect with the Lord, don't ever be quiet. Amen. Begin to speak to the Lord. And I'll tell you a little hint he gave me. He said, don't ask the Lord a question that will take an essay to write out. Ask Him yes or no questions. It's easier to hear. And I remember that. And I started doing that. And the Lord began to speak with me. So not only was I connecting with the Lord, I began to have a conversation with Him. And God, can I tell you something? There was a time even as a pastor that I felt like failure was imminent. That I was going to fail. And I was having praise and worship, anointing, falling. And I had a conversation with the Lord. So God, how much longer until we can't do this anymore? How much longer till I must announce that I am a failure before your people? And the Lord said to my heart, remember what I've told you. And I'm like, wait a minute. You told me that I would stand before a room and it would be full. That's never happened yet. And so I just remember standing on His word. Okay, Lord, if I'm going to fail, first this has to come to pass. I'm standing on Your promise. It is in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. You have spoke to me, but He spoke to me when I connected with Him and began to have a conversation. And in my hardest time, my darkest hour, I latched on to a word the Lord gave me a long time ago. And I said, Lord, it can't happen until this happens. So I thank You for Your word. So we need a place where we can connect with God, and we need to have conversations with the Lord. And the third part is here, and I'm ending very quickly, the church is a commitment. The church is a connection, the church is a conversation, and church is a commitment. When you say, I've had church, you're saying, I have connected, I've had a conversation, and I have had a commitment before the Lord. These are what Jacob had happen in his life. Jacob made a commitment. He made a vow. The commitment really is incredible. And only record we have of, I've already stated this, was his grandfather making the same commitment. Now, this commitment was made of the people of God well before this, but this was the only time we had records of it, was Abraham and then Jacob. Now, Matthew 8 and 21, you can write this down. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I used to misuse this scripture. You want to know why? Because everybody I knew misused this scripture. They would all say, let me see your checkbook. Well, now we don't use checkbooks anymore. Let me see your checkbook and I'll know where your heart is. And that had some truth statement behind it. But that's not the focus of this scripture. Let's just read it again. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Your heart will follow your treasure. Have you ever bought a car that you've never had before, the brand, make, and model? All of a sudden you drive around, you see the make and model everywhere.
Can I tell you something? That make and model was around all the time. All of a sudden, you put your treasure, you put your money into something, and you begin to notice everywhere that same treasure is. I'm going to tell you something. I've invested in some companies in the stock market before, and I never knew these companies, never cared about these companies, but the portfolio looked good. All of a sudden, I'm checking on these companies every day. I'm watching a ticker on my lunch break. Going up, going down. Yes, Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. Yes, Lord. All day long, up and down, up and down. How about this? I have bought money from other countries. I have bought other countries' money to see where the dollar is versus theirs. Am I going to make money off of it? And I even had my wife, I was talking with her the other day. I'm like, we've made $2,000 if I cash it in today. Woo, but I want more. So I've been watching. I check on it. I check on it. The up and downs, the up and downs. All of a sudden, my vision and my focus is where I put my treasure. You want your treasure in the house of God? You're going to have to make a commitment. Now, some of you are sitting back there thinking, I knew we were about to get the money. These preachers, they'll rob you blind. You go ahead and say that, but that ain't true. That's not our heart. Our heart is for you to be blessed. Our heart is for you to increase. And we want God's blessing on your life like never before. The only way for the church to prosper is for its people to prosper. The only way for the church to get where it needs to be is for you to walk in the blessing of God, that every promise is in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. I want you so filthy rich in every area of your life. Now, some of you just think finances. I want your families healthier than they've ever been. I want your kids to be the smartest kids in the school. Well, Pastor, that's not fair to the other kids. Favor isn't. Favor and mercy is not fair at all. It's actually the opposite. Very unfair. Can I tell you something? When all this went down, I've had conversations with the Lord. It's not fair. I haven't worked as hard as Pastor Steve. I haven't been in it as long as Pastor Steve. I am reaping benefits of stuff. And God, you're just making stuff too easy. And you know, I needed an SUV for the family, and you made it too easy. You got one to me that I couldn't afford in my own finances. See, can I tell you something else? If people would look at how I live and judge my finances, you would be way off. Way off. Because of the blessing of the Lord. And I didn't do nothing to deserve it. I went on vacations that I didn't pay for. And if you would have looked where I went and what I did and saw photos on Facebook and began to judge, you would have said, like some of the people, he gets paid too much. Now, I will just tell you, it wasn't none of this church. So there's other churches that are watching and judging. I heard some ridiculous statements made by people because they look and they judge me by the blessing of God. Who is he? Isn't that religious people? Who is he? When Jesus, who is he? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not, what is he doing here? Oh, people could listen to this accent. Look at my hobbies that I enjoy doing and say, who is this redneck from the backwoods? Who is he to stand up here? The favor of God is not fair. You do not deserve it. And I've had conversations with the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I know I'm worthy by your blood. I know. But can I tell you, Lord, there's other people that are working so hard that have put so much into it. And it just doesn't seem fair. Just doesn't seem fair. And that's when the Lord reminded me, it's not fair. There's nothing fair about it. If we wanted to talk fair, you would be in hell. You would already be dead. You would have never made it. You would have never got to this point if we want to talk about fair. But thank the Lord, we serve a God who puts it in our favor. Who you don't have everything together. I'm going to just tell you a secret. I don't have everything together. I know that shocks you. Because when I found out, it shocked me. But I don't have everything together. But I'm working on it. And I'll have it more together tomorrow than I do today. and next year than I did this year. And the year before that, and the year after that, and we'll just keep on going. But we have to make a commitment to God that we will not quit. We will not give up. We will put our money where our mouth is. We will put our prayers in the church. We will put our finances in the church. We will put our friendships and our families in the church. Our family on the outside may have abandoned us, but our family on the inside here loves us, connects with us, prays for us, lifts our hands up. When we are weak, they are strong. This is what church is. It is a place where we connect with God, a place where we have conversations with a God, and a place where we make a commitment to the Lord. And if you don't have those three things going on this morning, then you're not having church. You're just watching. The church has had too many watchers for too long. It's time that we commit. Now, why is he going from Beersheba to Haran? Anybody know the story? Okay, let me just give you an interesting fact. I love facts that don't matter. The Discovery Channel, all those, love them. Facts that just don't make any matter in your life at all. I'm full of them, Jesse will tell you. But Bethel is the second most place mentioned in the Bible. Anyone know the first? Come on. I bet you could guess it. The cities. Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem wins by long shot, but Bethel is the second most mentioned city, the house of God. Now, the reason Joshua is running, what did he do to his brother? He cheated him out of his inheritance. Now, what is his inheritance? The oldest son got double the inheritance. I am starting a petition to bring that back. Double the inheritance. That is a good thing. And so he tricked his father, who was blind, losing his sight, to give his brother. Now his brother received the news very well. Oh, Jacob has stolen my inheritance from me? Okay, I understand. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to make it public. I want everyone to know what happens to you. And so Jacob is running for his life. He's running for his life. And he connects with the Lord. Now, most of you know the story. Genesis 31 and 13. You don't have to turn there. But I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillars, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get out of this land and return into the land of thy kindred. About your family, your kinfolks. Now Jacob's name was changed. God is good at changing names. And so your name to you may have meant failure for a long time. But we know the God who changes names. And when you were in the darkness, when you were not in the light, there was a destiny placed before your life by the enemy. The good news is God will change your name and put you in the destiny you were created for. The creation that you were meant to stand in the glory of God. That you were meant to stand in the blessing of God. He will take you out of the pain and the suffering that you were in. The failure that you walked in. The failure that your mama, your grandmother, your grandfather walked in. The failure that has followed your family from generation to generation. And God will take you out, change your name, and say the failure stops there. God told him, arise, and he named him Israel, which is Yisrael. Now notice, Ella, where are we going back to? Bethel, Israel, God. Now the name means God prevails. When everything else fails, God prevails. Yes. Jacob was failing in life. Jacob was on the run for his life. All that blessing that he was promised all of a sudden isn't operating in his life. And today we can be looking at God's word and seeing what God tells us, seeing the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. And feel like Jacob, I'm working in the desert here, Lord. I am trying to get back to the promises. I am trying to walk in your glory and in your goodness. But right now, nothing seems to be working. And God connected with him. God had a conversation with him. God honored a commitment and a vow to him and changed his name from Joshua, you failure, you thief, and changed it to Israel. God will prevail. This morning, you may be in a place where you need your name to change. You need Israel to happen in your life. You need God to prevail. You may have been struggling, but can I tell you something? The good news about trials and tribulation is that they all have an expiration date. You will outlast them all because God will prevail. Look at your neighbor and say, God will prevail. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your honor. I thank you for your word. God, we praise you that this morning we have had church. We're going to continue to have church. We're going to connect with you. We're going to have a conversation with you. We're going to make a commitment to you, Father. Some of us this morning, we need to make a commitment. We know that we have a call on our life. We know that we need to be involved in our church. We know that we need to do what the Lord has set for us to do from the foundation of time. And I want you to ask this question to yourself, right where you are, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you this question. I want you to make this statement to the Lord. God, what are you telling me? Through this message, what are you speaking to my heart? What are you trying to get to me, Lord? And I believe right now we're having church. God is connecting with you. Some of you, God is giving you answers right now. God is speaking to your heart right where you are. Taking a part of the message right to your heart. Right to your life. Father, I thank you. What are you speaking to us? As individuals and as a church, what are you speaking?